It's very rare to see a photograph of Nick Warner. Nick Warner is the Director General of Australia's Foreign Spy Agency, ASIS. But he's come out of the shadows to be photographed alongside controversial Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte. Both of them photographed with their fists in the air. It's the fist pump gesture that is the hallmark sign of the Filipino president. And it seems to be a sign of solidarity with the Philippines after these two men had met to discuss the rise of ISIS extremism in the region. The meeting comes as human rights groups continue to condemn Rodrigo Duterte's so-called war on drugs, which has led to thousands of extrajudicial killings. Last week was one of the bloodiest in the so-called war on drugs. Police in the Philippines killed 80 people in and around Manila alone, including a 17-year-old high school boy. Filipino scholar Nicole Corrado has been closely following Nicole Corrado has been closely following the impact of the war on drugs. She's a research fellow at the University of Canberra, and she's the editor of a recently published book called The Duterte Reader. Nicole Corrado, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
This morning, Human Rights Watch has denounced Australia's foreign spy boss, Nick Warner, for that apparent fist pump with the Filipino leader. You've had a look at the photo, I know. What message do you think it sends? How did you react to it?
Well, I too am looking forward to an explanation of this pose. I mean, some may view this pose as harmless, but for others, the clenched fist pose is really precisely the symbol of the regime's defiance, and it symbolizes an iron-fisted approach to governance. So I'm not surprised that this is controversial.
The head of ISIS, Nick Warner, had just emerged from a meeting with Rodrigo Duterte about rising concerns of ISIS in the region, a legitimate reason. I think you'd agree, for Australia's spy boss to meet with the Filipino president. By making this meeting public with this photograph, which is unusual for the ASIS chief to be photographed, do you fear Australia risks giving broader legitimacy to the Duterte policies? Is that what you're worried about?
Well, I think it's a bit more complicated because a lot of analysts are making this distinction between the two wars that the Philippines has, the war on drugs and the war on terror.
Yep.
And definitely the war on terror necessitates a more regional approach to it. So I understand it's a bit more complicated than that. Condemnation might compromise broader cooperation in the region.
Yeah, so you accept that it is important that a country like Australia and our agency like ASIS, works closely with the Philippines, and the Philippines probably needs the help of a country like Australia in the fight against ISIS.
Absolutely. Regional cooperation is essential for that.
Australia has been critical of President Duterte's war on drugs. Our Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, she also met with the Filipino president this week, and after that meeting she said, quote, "We discussed anti-drugs campaign at length." The president of the Philippines had a different version of the meeting. He said, "We never discussed human rights." What leverage does Australia have over the Philippines on this issue, do you think?
Well, I think for the longest time, Australia has been providing productive support for the Philippines in terms of capacity building. So, for example, going back to the terrorism example, there have been a lot of programs in the South to build capacities, let's say, of the youth in their education programs. So I imagine that when it comes to the war on drugs, these same capacity building programs, let's say for rehabilitation centers, building capacities for local health workers, would be very helpful. The government is not averse to that. They've been talking about building more rehabilitation centers for drug addicts. So that kind of support is definitely needed.
So it's important that Australia is engaged in this, but would you like Australia to take a stronger stand against the so-called war on drugs and the thousands of people, the extrajudicial killings that have gone?
Yes, I mean, I think it's a bit more complicated because, of course, as a citizen, I could easily say, of course, the world has to take a condemn this war on drugs. But on the other hand, I also understand that they also don't want to antagonize a firebrand. That will make things a bit more complicated. My personal preference when it comes to this are actions that are happening on the ground, the kind of actions that will strengthen alternatives on the ground for a bloody war on drugs. That's why I raised the example of rehabilitation and building capacities of local medical practitioners, for example.
Let's talk about the bloodshed. There are a range of statistics given. How many people have been killed in the war on drugs? And because there's an official number and then there's a much larger number given too. Which number do you accept?
Yes, this is actually the tragedy. Well, the police have their own numbers. They would peg it at around 3,000. Some human rights groups will say we are at 8,000. And this is precisely the problem, because if we don't have locally an independent monitoring group on the war on drugs, then we will never have an accurate number of the dead. But just last week, the report you said is 80 people, some would say 58, were killed in 3 days. So that in itself, I think, is a cause of alarm.
And these people are being killed. The point is, they're called extrajudicial killings. People are just being gunned down, basically, in the streets, aren't they?
Right. But what's controversial about what happened in the past week is that these are legitimate police operations. They call it Operation Plan One Time Big Time. So there's something kind of malicious and very aggressive about it. And that happened just following another raid in the past on the other week where 15 people were killed, including a city mayor that the president identified to be part of the drug trade. Mm. So the argument I'm putting forward here is that aside from these becoming acts or being acts as extrajudicial killings, a lot of these are also happening in police operations.
There has been some, I mean, generally the population hasn't been particularly outspoken against the president about these killings by and large. Well, that's how it looks from this distance. But this week something changed. The death of 17-year-old Kian de los Santos. Why did his killing spark so much outrage?
Yes, it's not the first time that a minor or young men were killed in the drug war, but what Kian's death shows are very concrete evidence that of police brutality. So there's a CCTV footage, for example, of him being dragged by police officers. The way he is portrayed also is very, it generates empathy from a lot of audiences. He's described as an ideal student, an ideal son, compared to other minors that were killed who were depicted as drug peddlers. Mm. And I think his final words really hit the nerve for a lot of millennials. His final words were, "Please stop, I have to study for an exam tomorrow," telling the police officers that. So it was fascinating, like last Monday, there's this protest led by millennials who are actually very creative in telling their own stories, 17-year-old kids. Like, this is what we do as 17-year-old kids, and this is what can happen under this regime, that you can just be picked on by the local police and just be made a suspect of the drug war.
It's fair to say, though, isn't it, that although people have taken to the streets in protest over that killing, as you say, many of them millennials, that there has been broad support in the population for the president's war on drugs. Is that fair to say that you know, people are sick of the impact of drugs? How bad is the drug problem in the Philippines?
Right. Well, the official statistics say that it is still within the usual levels when you compare it to global averages. But I think what the president has been very effective in articulating is this anxiety that people had for the longest time that wasn't really discussed in public. So in my own conversations, in my own research in the Philippines, it's very noticeable that the drug issue has always been there, but it hasn't really been a politicized issue, and it's an everyday issue that a lot of people can relate to. But I think the point I wish to clarify here is that while the president remains popular, he has an 84% popularity rating, there is nuance here. There is also a survey that says most of the people actually think that drug suspects should be caught alive. They must not be killed. There's also a survey that says a lot of people are actually worried that they can be victims of the extrajudicial killings. So I would be very cautious in kind of equating the president's popularity with the popularity of the killings itself.
And I know there is suspicion in some parts that, as you say, it's not just drug dealers and people using drugs who are getting caught up in this. Some say it's an actual class war. But are there any signs that the pressure might be building on President Duterte to rein things in? He spoke out about the death of that 17-year-old student we were speaking about, and he admitted this week there was something wrong with the police operation. And there are several government agencies launching investigations now into some of these killings. Is there any sign that Rodrigo Duterte could change the course in this war on drugs?
My reading here is the approach will be a few bad apples approach. So they will identify police officers that did not perform correctly. They can probably have cases. They will probably be convicted. But the policy in terms of an aggressive approach to the drug war, there are no clear indications that the president will change course.
Nicole, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Nicole Corato, research fellow at the University of Canberra, and she's her research is into the issue of the drug war in the Philippines. She's the editor of the recently published book, The Duterte Reader.